unmuddling the metaphysical. It's something, it's been a goal of mine, really, to take some of these concepts that seem so fuzzy to everyone and to clear them up and to make them available. Why should the most important things that human beings have to learn be shrouded in mystery and be unexplainable?
Welcome to an experience that could be one of the most profound you'll ever have. In Transformation, you'll see it when you believe it. Wayne Dyer takes the mystery out of concepts that sometimes have been confusing. He applies these principles in down-to-earth situations with true stories that illustrate their effectiveness. Transformation, You'll See It When You Believe It, is a major expansion of Wayne Dyer's philosophies. It's yet another step that can help you improve your life in every area. As you listen and learn, you'll move closer to success and happiness than ever before. At the core of this philosophy is the belief that all you want is here for you, if you harness the power of your mind.
Descartes said that I think, therefore I am. I believe that I think, and that is all that I am.
Dr. Wayne Dyer's thinking has been a shining light for years to people interested in self-development. He's a well-known author, philosopher, and social commentator with a Ph.D. in counseling psychology. His bestsellers include Your Erroneous Zones, of which there are more than 30 million copies in print worldwide. He also wrote Pulling Your Own Strings, The Sky's the Limit, Gifts from Icus, What Do You Really Want for Your Children?, and Happy Holidays. Dr. Dyer has been recognized as a speaker for his wit, charm, and gentle insights. He's the 1987 recipient of the Toastmasters International Golden Gavel Award, recognizing America's top speaker of the year, and he's appeared on thousands of radio and television shows. Wayne has recorded a number of Nightingale Conant bestsellers, including How to Be a No-Limit Person, Choosing Your Own Greatness, What Do You Really Want for Your Children?, and Secrets of the Universe. Now there is Transformation, You'll See It When You Believe It. You'll learn how to transform the way you think, how to change all your relationships for the better, and how to gain more abundance with less worry and conflict. You'll learn how to tap into a network of goodness that's there for all of us if we just tune into it.
You'll see it when you believe it. And that's about universal principles that you will never, ever see show up in your life until you know they're there. And when you believe it, you'll see them everywhere, every day. And when you don't, you'll always wonder why they're not in your life.
This program brings you the latest of Wayne Dyer's work. You'll hear him in a variety of live seminars recorded in San Jose, California, Portland, Oregon, and Detroit, Michigan. And you'll also hear him in intimate recordings from our studios. But most important of all, you'll hear new ways of being that will have a profound effect on your life. And now, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
You've heard me talk about what it means to be a no-limit person, but I want to try to put that into an entirely different perspective. There's a man who died just recently named Bucky Fuller, Buckminster Fuller. We served together on the council for the Hunger Project. He was a mathematician and a philosopher and an inventor and a really dynamic, exciting person. Even at 90, I think he was 90 or 91 when he died, he was full of energy and excitement. And he said something that really touched me. He said that 99%, and he's a mathematician, all right? I'm not. 99% of who we are as human beings, you can't touch, and you can't see, and you can't feel, and you can't smell. You can't get a hold of it. It's the part of us that is in, quote, non-form. And that we can only define as thought, or mental imagery, or visualization, or feelings, or, I mean, words that defy a formula because there's no form to them. And the rules are different in this part of our consciousness, where we think, this thought process. And that constitutes, according to Fuller, a human being's 99% of their existence is inside. And we are obsessed, it almost seems, as human beings, with the 1%. The 1% that is in form. We spend most of our energy in the 1% looking at each other's packages. And this is something I give a lot of thought to. This whole notion that who we are, it's like, how do you perceive yourself? That's a real key question.
Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that a mind stretched to a new idea never returns to the original dimension. It's a great thought. A mind stretched to a new idea never returns to the original dimension. I run a lot. I have a pair of Adidas running shorts. You know those little Adidas running shorts that are nylon? I take those shorts out and I stretch them. And if you stretch them right to as far as they can go, shoo, they always snap back and you still got running shorts, don't you? As long as you stretch something to its limit, it will always return to the original dimension and you'll always have running shorts. But whenever I stretch those running shorts beyond their limit, what they were designed for, if you will, a little further, then I let them snap back, I notice I don't have running shorts anymore. They're something different. They're not any better than they were or any worse than they were. They're just something different. They're now in a new dimension. They're real good for getting the bugs off of the front of your car or washing it or cleaning glass. But they're no longer running shorts. What I ask you to do is to stretch.
A few years ago, in 1978 or 79, I was invited to a place called Los Gatos. I was going to do a workshop, a weekend workshop, and they have a place there called Getting in Touch. I said yes. It sounded like a nice thing, and at that time I was saying yes to everything. If anybody wanted me to speak, four rats in a sewer said, look, will you come and speak? All right, I can do it, all right? And I would show up. We agreed that I would come on a Friday and I would speak Friday night and then I would speak Saturday. And it would be in a small sort of intimate setting, right? We would sit around on couches and people would pay a tuition and it was like a little mini course. I arrived at this place. I flew into San Francisco and then I rented a car and I drove, and it was way back in amongst all the redwoods and it was very, very difficult to find. So I showed up Friday night to give my talk and I went there and it was going to be sort of informal and that was fine with me. So I look out and about a third of my audience doesn't have any clothes on. Nothing. I mean, it's clothing optional and I didn't see that in the... I thought, well, they must have misinterpreted and it's not erroneous zones that they want me to talk about at all. You know. So I realized that this place, Getting in Touch, was a clothing optional. They were teaching people to be masseuses and masseurs and so on. I looked at it. And it was all right. And so we talked. And as soon as I told them to just put on some clothes and not to be so disgusting, no, I didn't do that. But anyway, at this particular place, they had a whole lot of hot tubs. And I mean a lot of them. They had maybe 15, 18. And the hot tubs all had different temperatures in the water. They ranged from, I think, 116 or something like that degrees Fahrenheit to like 45 degrees. And as the people were talking, I noticed that they were saying which of the hot tubs they were going to go into. Almost everybody, and when I say that, I mean 298 or 299 out of 300, were going to operate this weekend in these hot tubs from this range of what you might call a comfort zone. I'm not going in any of the hot stuff, and I'm not going in any of the cold stuff. And I'll sort of experience the tubs between 90 and 96, or whatever it was. And all of this experience over here of experiencing the hotter temperatures, and all of the experiences over here of the lower temperatures were going to be ignored by all of the people in favor of staying right with what I know and am comfortable with and can enjoy, and that's it. And that's the level that I am going to only experience my life. Now, that metaphor is applicable to almost all of us all the time. We are only willing to experience that which we know, where we're safe, and not go outside of those limits. And what I would ask of you is to open yourself up to not being that kind of person any longer, who will only experience and go with what you know the outcome to be already and know that you can be comfortable with. And also know that within each one of us, we have this phenomenal capacity to be able to experience this entire range of human experience and to do it in comfort without suffering. And all it takes is getting out of that 1% of living your life through form, through your body, through the package, and not seeing each other just as packages, but knowing inside there's something much grander than all of this.
I've been looking at my hand lately. Take a look at your hand, especially if you're over 47. Hand is really interesting. I got a great hand. Look at that hand. It's a lot different than it used to be, though. This hand has got little marks on it that it never had before, I noticed. Skin's a little different than it was. It's got a few brown marks over here that I never saw either. Little spots. Just starting. I don't know what the hell they are. Beauty marks, I guess. I noticed that when I squeeze my hand, the back of it, like this, when I do that to my daughter, it just sort of snaps back like a rubber band, you know? Mine used to do that, just a little while ago, it seems. Now it sort of meanders back. Sort of watch it go back. And you time it. Yeah, 4 seconds. Last week it was 3. I do the same thing with my head. I see a hair on the pillow, and I look at it and I say, what held it in yesterday? Something had to. See that hand? If I thought it was me, I'd freak out. Thank God I know it's not me. It's not me. You think you're your form? You really have to get this tonight. This is why I came to Portland, to teach you that you're not your form, and to be rejoicing and celebrating that, to understand that you're something much more magnificent and divine and greater than that. And not only just to hear it from me, but to walk out of here having your mind stretched to a new dimension. When I first started running, the idea of running 8 miles was just incredible to me because I was huffing and puffing when I have to finish 1 mile. And I was in pretty good shape. And when I ran the Greek marathon, 26.2 miles all the way from Marathon to Athens, because I flew over there because it was something I wanted to do, arrive at the Greek stadium. I felt like Pheidippides when I was out there. They let us off in Marathon. They said, run to Athens. I kept saying, here come the Persians, you know, I mean, I was all the way through it. And it was 102 degrees that day, and 17 miles of it was uphill. If you've ever been to Greece, the policemen don't have very much authority over there. They're people just sort of, oh, yeah, that's the guy in the uniform. They didn't block off the street, so you had to run down the yellow line with cars going this way. You were just sort of running in between them at 100 degrees. They started it conveniently for the runners at 10 a.m. so that you could run during the hottest part of the day. And the fumes in Athens are probably the worst of any city in the world. And 1,540 of us started. And under 400 completed it. And I was down, on the ground, but saying to myself, did you fly to Greece to not complete this? And finding something inside of me. I don't know what it was. I don't know how I got it. I don't know where it was. I was throwing up until there was nothing left to throw up. It was just the inner linings of my stomach, I think, were just coming up. It was just, and I had drunk so much water, and I'd lost some, and I was like this, and I still had 7 miles to go. And something inside of me found the capacity, a new level in me. And it had nothing to do with my body, because my body was wasted, it was gone. You just don't do that in that kind of temperature, running uphill, even though I had really trained for it. It was my 7th marathon. And when I first started, I never thought for a minute that I could ever even think and contemplate running a marathon when I ran my first mile. And the place that I found inside of me is not form. This is what I want you to see. What is a human being? And let's take one up here and give all of you linear, scientist, pragmatic, I'll believe it when I see it people an opportunity to examine what a human being is. And you say, all right, you weigh 130 pounds, all right, we'll lay you out here. Or 170 pounds, we'll lay you out here. You got 112 pounds of bone, and you just sort of lay out this bone all over here. And you got 14 miles of intestine, and you lay out all your intestine. Here's a heart, and here's a gizzard, and here's a duodenum, and here's an esophagus, a whole pile of hair. Here's a small pile of hair over here. And now you got all these veins, and you got all these arteries, and you got all these nails, fingernails, you got toenails over here, and you lay it all out. Everything that is constitutes form. And you get it all there, and you say, that's a human being. And that's not a human being. How can that be? Is that all you are? Just gristle and bone? And all that stuff, all that form? Where's your mind? Where did the mind go? Oh, yeah, that's right. That isn't in there. Well, how do you account for that? What is that? What is that thing that constitutes you being a human? Because this, you find all of this in a pig or a horse. All of that, every bit of that, you'll find in a horse. So there's something else that constitutes your humanity. And that something else is all that you are.
Human beings are multidimensional. We don't get that. We think we're just one-dimensional. Maybe two we'll get in. We don't see that there's 18, 20, 50, hundreds of dimensions that are all part of this transitional process called humanity. And that when you get this inside of you, that death is no longer anything to be terrified of. It's just you understand, you know, it isn't a belief, it isn't a faith, it isn't a religious thing. It's an understanding that you can't kill thought. And form never dies. It is always just in transition. And if you just ask yourself the question, am I a body with a soul, or am I a soul with a body? And if you know that you're a soul with a body, if you know that you aren't this body, and that you've been in many bodies already, you've been in this little body, and then in this 12-year-old body, and this 18-year-old body, you've been in all these bodies, when there's no form left to any of them, you take on a whole new approach to this terrifying thing called aging or dying. I had to address the Florida Council on the Aging last week. I was the keynote speaker. And I got up there and I said, and there were all of these people who work with aging people and all these older people and so on. And I got up and my opening line was, you've asked me to be the keynote speaker on a subject that I don't believe in. I don't believe in aging. You can't age thought. You can't age spirit. You can't age divinity. You can't age feeling. You can only age form. And I know that's not just me. And that's what this whole thing is about. That's really what we're talking about. Understanding that who you are, because you can't touch, feel, grab, and do all that stuff you can do with that pile of bones and gristle and veins and things like that, and because you can't get a hold of all of that, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist any more than the wind doesn't exist because you can't get a handful of it. No one has ever seen the wind. You can't see wind. You can't hold wind. You can't smell wind. You can't touch wind. You can only see the results of wind. That's all. You know that wind exists, but nobody's ever seen wind. How can you do that? So it exists independent of whether you can touch it or grab it or not. And as you get into this awakening process, this highest level that frees you from all of the stuff that immobilizes most people, all of the anguish, all the depression, all of the having to get ahead, all of the accumulation anxieties, all the type A behavior and the hurry sickness that we suffer from, that stuff becomes something in the past that is just thought. It's just there. And you'll never, ever be knocked around by it again. So thought is an endless energy that goes on and on. And if you know that that's who you are, this ability to think. And for the skeptics, I would suggest to you that what you do is you think about everything that's ever happened to you up until this moment and understand that all of it up until right now, in this moment that you are alive, is in the realm of thought. You can't touch any of it. You can't have any of it. And yet it's very real for you. You can get very emotional about it. You can have experiences through that thought. But you can't ever have it. You can't ever touch it in the form sense, so that your whole experience of your past up until this very second is all in thought and nothing more, right? And yet it's very real. And then I would say to you that to think about everything that's going to happen to you from this second on and to understand that that's also nothing more than pure thought. You can't have any of that. You can't touch tomorrow. You can't get a hold of your goals. You can't have those and dissect them and treasure them. You can't take tomorrow's BMW and drive it. That's all just thought. And yet you can also have the experience within your form, within yourself, through thought. So your whole past and your whole future are a thought. So that only leaves you with now. Then what you do is you look at now, and you look at all the things that are important to you, that you want for yourself. And you start with your children and your wife or your husband and your co-workers and your parents and all of these people, and you understand that the only way you can ever experience them in the moment is through thought, through your mind. You can't do it any other way. You can't get behind their eyeballs and be them. That's the limitation of form. So you can only do that through thought. And then you take all of the stuff that you want to accumulate, and you begin to see that that's only thought, too. That's only thought. You can't be a diamond. You can't be a new house. You can't even have it. You can't even own it. It is only in your mind that you do something with it. And you can experience it, but you can't have it. Now you get to this place where you understand there are no limits on me because I can think anything I want. Now you're looking at new rules. New rules. Here are the rules. There are no such thing as cause and effect. Now, we live by cause and effect in form. You do this, and it causes this, and physical form is altered by this and that. But in thought, you don't have to have a cause and effect. In other words, if you're doing something in thought, and you want to change the thought to something else, or if you're right now in Chicago, but you want to be in Afghanistan, you just go there. You can go there and you don't have to get on a train, and you don't have to fly. You don't have to do any of that. In thought, you don't have to have cause and effect. That place of no limits is how you start looking at everyone and everything in the universe. And you begin to look at all the stuff that we get really hung up with owning. And you start saying to yourself, if it's in my life, it's fine. And if it's not, that's okay too. And you look at your relationships and you find out that almost everything you fight about, you're fighting about stuff that doesn't even exist, isn't even real for you. What's real is just how you think and what you fill yourself with. And if your thoughts are harmony and ease and serenity and love, and that's all you have to give away, then that's what you start giving away. You can be anything, you can do anything, you can go anywhere. I think of it like an actor on a stage. You sort of see your form going through these motions. Like we produce a series of tapes, all right? So that's one of the motions that it goes through. In order to do that, we got to fly to Chicago. In order to do that, you got to drive through rainstorms. And you just sort of watch your form go through all of these things. But there's another part of you, the real divine part of you, the real you, that sort of just stands back like an actor on a stage and says, these are just the motions that I'm going through, but that isn't really me. I'm much more divine and much greater than all of that, much bigger and grander than all of that. And you start seeing the perfection behind everything that you're doing. And you never worry again about your form wearing out or about dying or any of those things. They become meaningless. That's part of what you're going through. There has to be like a, in some philosophies, they call it an observer. You have to have this constant observer with you that you carry around with you all the time. You can give them a name if you want to. And it's like, this is your higher consciousness. This is the part of you that is able to stop yourself in the middle of anything that you're doing that you've attached a lot of importance and significance to and say to yourself, this isn't really me at all. This is just what I have to go through at this time. You see, the way that I look at the whole thing is that there's a glass of water right here. And I've got this glass of water. And you say to me, is the glass of water real or not? That doesn't matter whether the glass of water is real or not real, or whether it's just something you perceive or whether it's an illusion or not. The question is, as you look at this water, not whether it's real or not, but does it slake my thirst? Does it take care of my thirst? Does it serve me in the way that I want it to? If it does that, then I don't want to fight with whether it's an illusion or whether it's not. But if it doesn't do that, in other words, if my life is messed up, and I'm full of misery and unhappiness, or I'm depressed, or I'm always chasing things, or I'm never satisfied, or I'm angry a lot, or procrastinating all the time, or I'm full of guilt, or any of those kind of things. If I can see the illusion behind that, in other words, the stuff that is out there and is real and it helps you to make your life work, don't argue with it, don't fight it, don't do anything with it. Just sort of stand back and have one little corner of your consciousness that says, it really doesn't matter whether I get the deadline done or I don't get it done, but I've already put myself into this act. This is the act that I am presently in. This is the role that I have chosen since I've shown up here, and there must be a reason for me to choose it. So I'm going to go through the role, but I'm never going to let the role destroy me. I'm never going to let it mess me up. When it starts doing that, in other words, when I start getting into a lot of real fast type A behavior over my deadlines, or when I start getting myself all upset because the Joneses have something that I don't have, or anything like that, then I'm going to stop myself and say, over what? I can't own anything anyway. I can't take anything with me. All I have is now. And all I can do with now is live in it and enjoy it and be there. And every single time I find myself slipping back, believing that this stuff that I'm accumulating or all of these things that I'm trying to get done are really important, I stop myself. And I say, just go ahead and do them. Just go through the motion and don't let myself get destroyed by them. That's the key. That's the main difference. And I really believe that you can transform yourself. That transformation means the ability to go beyond your form, all right? Transformation, the result of going beyond your form. That's what the word means. When you can see that you're much more than just this form, and that these thoughts that you have are things. Thoughts are things. And that you can take these thoughts and the way that you perceive life, and that's all that you have. That's just all you have. It's how you process it all. Your form has already been established, and you now occupy this form. This is the hotel that you have, that you live in for the time that you are. It's like the spacesuit that you see the astronauts wear. Well, that's sort of what you have. You have the shell, and you climb into it every single day, and you're going to occupy that for a certain amount of time. The problem is that a lot of people think that they are their packaging, all right? It's like if you went to the grocery store and went into the frozen food section and saw something that said a nice picture of broccoli with almonds on it, all right? And you take that home, and you take the wrapping off, and you put the wrapping in the microwave or in your little pot of hot water, and you start boiling the wrapping. You say, well, that's not the stuff. That's just the wrapping, all right? The real stuff is inside. That's what's in there. It's the broccoli and the almonds are inside. You're just looking at the wrapping. That's the same analogy that I have with each one of us. We just think we're the wrapping and the packaging, and we get into this package, and we believe that the package is more important than what the package contains. And what the package contains is your ability to be anything that you want to and to make almost anything happen that you want to. See, it sounds almost too far-fetched, too weird for people, because they don't want to believe that through the mind, which is what human beings are, that we can make things outside of us change through the way that we think. We don't want to accept that. They're formed, and they're going through it the way everybody else goes through it. They just get in line, and so they get in their salesman formation, and they get up in the morning, and they go off, and they do things the way that the book tells them to do things. And then they come home, and then they're daddy formation. And then they're in another formation, whatever it is, all through their whole life. And they don't understand that there's something called transformation, which means to go beyond your form. What that capacity is, the intelligence that's behind it, is that anything that you can think, you can achieve. That a thought, a visualization, an image, is something that if you get it properly in your mind, and you start living with that image, you start living with that transformation, that eventually, what you are imaging for yourself has to come about. It has to work out.
This is the end of Side 1. Please fast forward the tape to begin Side 2.